Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dedis.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
Are we?
Are we nestled?
Are we nestled?
I mean...
We said that all this time.
Yeah, we... I mean, I didn't come up with that one.
Exploding out of the heart of Cascadia.
There we go. Coming to you, not live, from the heart of Cascadia.
We're on the air, covering... Excuse me. We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains, and transit, adventures, and life hacks. And today, well, I just had Ashley because I didn't know. I'm sorry. I didn't know we had other guests coming.
Ashley and Daniel.
Yes, talking about Alley Cross,
which is a hybrid of an alley cat and a cyclocross race, and it's a lot of fun. So we're going to talk about that in just a minute, but thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Wow, that was well coordinated. Good job.
Now he owes me a Coke.
Exactly. Pinky swear. Aaron, how are you?
Pretty good. I found a new way to the studio today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I went down 7th instead of Vancouver to Rose Quarter, 7th to Broadway. This is so Portland-centric now.
Yes.
7th to Broadway to 14th through Lloyd Center and then across that whatever over the highway.
Into the heart of the bread packing district.
Yes. To the point, also, I should have never discovered this, but now that I have, I'm going to abuse the shit out of it. The bread store is open till 6 o'clock.
The bread store?
Yes.
I don't think I was aware there was a bread store. So
oh, really? So, yeah, we're right near the Franz Bakery.
Yes. Yeah.
They have a bakery outlet store.
They have an outlet store?
Yeah.
They have those little pies?
I had one, yes.
Okay.
Like I said, I should have never discovered
this. How late
are they
open till?
6 o'clock.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, in that case, I know where I'm going next week.
Yeah, exactly.
Right after I go to the Beer Mongers on Southeast Division and 12th. I like that the Michigan fan base is probably leaning in right now, listening for more details about the streets of Portland.
Oh, yeah?
I would imagine.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, amongst others.
I've got an insider tip for you later. I've got a secret tunnel you can take.
Oh, wait. Oh. Can we share it with the people?
Oh, wait, through Lloyd Center.
Yeah,
I almost took that.
That's my favorite.
Almost took that. Yes.
Wait, is this the one on 15th?
14th? Right before you turn onto
14th. You kind of go down
14th.
By the trash. It's the dumpster lot, but it's kind of awesome.
Oh, wait, it goes under the actual mall
in
Lloyd Center.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've been there. I think the Big Lebowski ride, the dude ride, went through there this year.
Yeah. The last Thursday night ride I was on. Went through there.
Which night was that on?
Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yes, and you went through the secret tunnel underneath the mall in Lloyd Center.
Yes.
Very good. Yeah, I'm glad that's there. It's a lot of fun. It's reverberant. We went down there, I think. I was playing music. I had my mobile sound system I was using for the Big Lebowski-themed ride. And we had this scene from...
Wait, so question. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you. But are we allowed to go down that tunnel?
I've never been stopped, and that's usually...
I've always been with a group, so I figured, well, they're not going to stop us. But
I go through a solo rider. I learned about it when I was doing the Jimmy John's bike delivery. That was the throughway.
Right, because Jimmy John's is right up there on Broadway.
Yeah, and you know how that Lloyd Center is. It kind of cuts off everything... between 14th to 9th or something.
Oh, it's a mall. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a mall.
It's like a mile long.
Yeah. Forever.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can go underneath that. And so it's nice and reverberant. And we were playing the audio from the scene in which the weasel is thrown into the bathtub.
Oh.
It's a ferret, right?
Well,
a marmot.
Aquatic mammal
of some kind.
Any kind.
I think that was part of the joke of that. And I don't remember.
Nice.
I don't think
marmot.
That's legal either.
Yeah. Yeah, but we were playing that audio, and it would bounce nicely off of those walls. So, yeah. Hey, we got to MC for Cranksgiving this weekend.
Holy shit, did we? That was so much fun.
That was a lot of fun. We brought our particular brand of jackassery to the stage.
We're for hire, folks, too.
It's true, yeah. I mean, anytime somebody wants us to talk about something, we'll be there. But, yeah, we got to announce the winners of all the prizes, and we got to announce the good work that Outside In does with people living outdoors.
We were over $2,000.
Yeah, raised by donors. You know who won the biggest donor?
Who won biggest donor?
Yeah.
No.
Wasn't it Kettle Chips?
Oh, well.
Because I thought they had donated product.
Yes.
But I think it was like.
I was thinking of like which bike team won biggest.
Yeah,
donor. Yes, Kettle Chips donated, I think it was like 500.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Cranksgiving, for anybody who doesn't know, is an alley cat style race. So this is half of the alley cross. It's where you have a list of things you have to acquire from somewhere, and you have to go out and get them and bring them back. Mm-hmm. So that's what Cranksgiving was. And Cranksgiving, as I spoke from stage, it now exists in about 60 cities around the U.S.
Yes.
It
maybe
started in New York
Canada.
City in 1999. Sure. So anyways, yeah, it's a cool deal because a lot of people are doing this alley cross thing, getting some charitable donations together. We didn't hear anything about the Golden Banana Award because there's been a competition between
Seattle and us.
Between Seattle and Portland, yeah.
Yes.
Which city brings out the most riders? Which one raises the most money for charity?
Is it most riders or most money?
I want to say it was most riders,
okay.
I think.
I thought it was most riders as well.
Yeah. And I don't have the numbers. Tom, who was organizing the whole event, didn't really want to get into the whole Golden Banana thing. Because it was just too hectic, too stressful.
Well, yeah. I guess there wasn't a whole lot of communication between the Seattle organizers and our organizers.
They don't talk anymore, man. They broke up.
Yep.
They were so cute together too. It was too bad.
Well, you know, it's as with any relationship, it's just it was its time and
give it time. Yeah.
No reason to like force it to be something.
Maybe they'll get back together.
I mean, sure. We all hope so.
Yeah.
You know, like Ross and Rachel.
like to see that Golden Banana passed over again.
I didn't see that being the relationship we were going to put back together, but I appreciate that.
There's that show about some friends that lived in New York City, name of which I forget.
I don't know the name of it either.
Yeah. So anyways, that was a lot of fun being at the event. I was thinking I wish that I had actually been able to participate in the event. And I suppose technically maybe we could have. But it was hard to be on stage and give announcements. Yeah.
I think with the caveat of like, you know, we just wouldn't be the ones receiving any kind of prize.
That's right.
Which that wouldn't be why I would do it anyway.
Right.
I mean, prizes are nice, but
yeah. I want the prize.
I wanted to just be out there writing.
There was the prize that was available where you get to be the guest host of the Sprocket Podcast. I won that prize.
We kind of foisted that onto somebody, too. It was like one of the last ones picked.
Yeah, nobody really wanted it, but yeah.
And
it's all good.
And, they didn't know what they were missing. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Oh, no. She's going to be on, and she's going to have a great time. Paula Funatake.
I
don't know if you know who she is. She's the one who won it.
And easily, the most kind of reserved person on the team. Like, we had to drag her up. To receive the prize. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I think I said, just to be honest, we would probably have you on eventually anyway.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
You might as well just get.
Right. The cash value of this prize is very low. So, yeah. That was a fun thing this weekend. But anything else that you did?
Finished the Pugsley.
Congratulations.
Finally.
That's right. You wrote it to Velocult for the event. And the Pugsley is your bike that you share with Anna?
It is Anna and mine's bike.
Mm-hmm. The one that you adopted.
Yes. Yeah. We call it the Kid after Prince's character's name in Purple Rain.
I thought
it
was after the movie with Bruce Willis.
wasn't that like his one and only Disney film?
Disney's the Kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a good time travel flick.
Oh, right. He goes to visit himself.
Himself, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Kid, you're going to grow up to be cool like me someday.
Right.
Yeah.
You're going to grow up to jump out of a helicopter and blow up airplanes.
That's right. It's a different movie, though.
Oh,
but
I thought it was all canon.
But you have the Kid in your stable of bikes now.
Yes.
Tell us about the Kid.
So it's a black Pugsley, a standard Pugsley. We put dirt drop bars on it, which is pretty awesome, and Jevenel brake shifters.
That's right. Formerly Retro Shift.
Formerly Retro Shift.
A long time ago, like 2011, was on the Sprocket Podcast.
Wow.
Back when we recorded in the Lentz neighborhood.
Back before I was even
attached. Before you were born.
Yes.
Yeah.
Into the world.
You are actually the Kid.
Yes.
That's right. But it's a good looking bike.
Yeah, it's really great looking. Anodized purple hardware.
And the purple is something I wouldn't have expected, but that's not your influence. That's Anna's.
Well, I mean, I agreed to it, and once I like got it on there, I was like all about it.
Yeah.
To the point where she had to start reining me in and be like, the more anodized purple shit we put on this, the more expensive it's going to get.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really awesome. I wiped out on it already.
Ooh.
So
you gotta get
it's,
out of the
it's
way.
Well, that's what everyone said is like, well, now you got it scratched. You don't have to worry about its finish anymore.
You don't have to take the keys to it.
Right.
Yeah. Very good.
I should have taken the keys to it.
That's what I like to do. Anytime I get something shiny, I like to just like, let's put that first nick in there real quick.
There you go.
Get that over with so you don't have to worry about it not being perfect. It's not ever perfect.
No, yeah. No. And, you know, it's a work in progress, but...
Yeah. So, as a work in progress, what's the next thing? What do you add to it now?
Fenders.
Okay. That'd be nice.
Racks. Like, big, fat, full-length fenders.
Enormous fenders.
Yes.
Like the fender for, like, a Volkswagen Bug.
They'll probably be made out of 2x4s.
Okay. Perfect. Just cut those, carve them, to get a little bit of an angle.
Yeah.
A little bit of a curve. That sounds good.
It'll be like twice as much as the bike. But,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. So while we were there, my friend Bill showed up to ride your bike.
Oh, right.
And it was
pretty
awesome.
Yeah, he really liked it.
He and I made an agreement. He's trying to gain weight. I'm trying to lose weight. And so we decided to pick a point in the middle because he wants to gain 15 pounds and I want to lose 15 pounds almost exactly.
Oh, yeah. So you guys made a bet.
We put money on it. Yeah. So whoever gets there first. Wins, and the other person has to donate to a charity of the winning person's choice.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. But now we have it inked. You were there. You documented the event.
Yep. Everything but a newspaper with today's date on it.
That's right.
Much.
I wish we'd had one of those. Yeah. If only there was some way to find out when that photograph had been taken without such a device.
Right.
Proof of life.
Yeah, no, yeah. But I think what's going to happen, there was some talk about jumping into a body of water wearing a suit and tie.
Correct.
So I don't know which body. We considered Crater Lake.
Crater Lake, that name was thrown around a lot.
Yeah, but we'll see.
Cold.
Very
yes.
cold, even in summer. Yes. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But that relates to my goal and my rule for myself. I just created a rule that if I weigh more than 200 pounds, I can't drink beer.
Oh,
so I'm working really hard to stay under 200 pounds.
I see you have a beer in front of you, though.
I do have a beer. As a matter of fact, I went down to the beer mongers in Southeast Division and 12th to pick up my tasty beverage here. This is the Vortex IPA, and you're enjoying the, what was that again?
I am enjoying half, actually, of a Lionheart kombucha.
That's right.
Most of it's in the sink over there.
Oh, wait, did you not capture it?
No.
Oh, you need a glass under that thing, man.
Yeah.
We have learned that you can't open Lionheart kombucha.
This particular one, especially the Oregon strawberry, is like especially live.
Well, I think that's the only one. It's raw, it's probiotic, it's dry.
And effervescent.
Yeah, yes.
No kidding.
And apparently volatile.
Yeah, for sure. So you were saying, Dan, you've got some experience with this one, and you're not quite sure. Like, how do you tame the lion? How do you win the lion's
just
heart?
Keeping it refrigerated.
Okay. All right. And because this one has been refrigerated, right? But
yeah.
But I'm not sure
It was cold when I opened it.
Okay. Well, you took it out of the fridge. That's the problem.
Warm hands that really heat up. And,
that's right.
Latent heat transfer. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I was going to ask, do either of you have a fat bike in your stable?
Not yet.
No, okay. But you want one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, I do. Nice.
Do you know what you want?
Are you guys close enough to share one?
No.
Answer.
How comfortable do you want to ride, Danny?
Well, we used to share a cross bike.
Yeah.
Ah.
But I don't know. I don't think the fat bike will work.
Yeah. Okay. We looked at a couple of.
Well, she wants a mountain bike, and I want an ECR.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm trying to figure it out, but possibly looking at a. I don't know. Get a good deal in a Chinelli Geo or Bello Orange PLA, they're a little
the PLA,
heavy.
Yeah,
I heard it's a little heavy though. So playing around with the idea.
It's a lot of steel.
Yeah, it's a lot of steel. Yeah. So sturdy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love the fork on the PLA.
What does the fork look like?
It's a big.
It's like, kind of like squared.
Do that again for our listeners. So you're moving your fingers.
It took me a second to realize, oh, right.
All of our viewers.
That's a joke.
Absolutely understand. No, it's all squared off. So it's, very cool.
But we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I hope you get what you want. I hope you both get something good.
Tis the giving season.
That's right. Yeah. Wait, is this one of those like that Christmas story where like you both give each other a bike and you had to sell a bike? No, okay. You're just going to go buy one.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And he gave her a comb, but she cut her hair. It's so beautiful.
Sold my tires to buy you a frame. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about Alicross. What's happening, first of all? What's the event upcoming?
We got Kimmy Cross coming up.
Where is that?
It starts at the Beer Mongers.
Where is that?
On 12th and Division.
That's right. Southeast Division and 12th.
Just so happens also to be our team sponsor. So we love that place. It's just the best. And they've been really good to us for hosting events. This is, what, the third or fourth event we've hosted there? Mm-hmm. So Kimmy Cross, December 11th is Sunday. Mm-hmm. So everyone who's used to doing cross can easily transition into the Sunday race here. And it'll kick off at noon. Start time of the race is at noon, and it'll probably end around 3 with the award ceremony. And people can hang out and drink beer at Beer Mongers on 12th and Division.
There you go. Yeah, you're selling it. I like it.
Couldn't be said any better.
How often or how long? How often do you guys go to the Beer Mongers? Every day. Now, what's your connection to the Beer Mongers? How did you guys kind of fall into the team and into the shop itself?
I got recruited by Bill, the president of the Beer Mongers.
Okay, yeah.
He's our politician.
Nice.
He was a longtime competitor in cyclocross, and we went neck to neck for a couple years, and he was finally approached myself and my friend Justin and said, "Hey, you guys want to get on a team?"
I've seen what you do. You can do this for us.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, so you had to switch teams.
No, I was not on a team.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see. Okay. Nice. Well, that's awesome.
Amateur.
Yeah. We talked to Bill at the Beer Mongers when we were there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. If anybody made it all the way through that.
It was a lot of tape.
A lot of room noise.
I guess not tape, really. But
it was tape.
Okay. I did not make it through.
That's okay. Not to worry.
I really tried.
It's maybe something you could use like as a reference, maybe, I want to know what this guy says and like get back to that episode and check it out, but then like leave it for a while.
Yeah.
Until you're interested again.
Just
kind of like a textbook, maybe.
I feel like it might be good for this weekend when you are like in the kitchen for hours on end on like Wednesday or Thursday and you just need something a little bikey to spice up your Thanksgiving. You can throw in the old Beer Mongers episode.
There we go. Perfect. Yeah.
After cooking for an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, we guarantee your turkey will be done. We don't guarantee it.
No.
But yes, you could listen to it while the turkey is, while the bird is being cooked. Speaking of which, are you cooking a bird?
I'm cooking two.
Nice.
But
and you're vegetarian.
Yes.
Yeah. How is that?
Well, so this is a tradition that started about 4 years ago with my old employer / residency, where for the Thanksgiving gathering, nobody wanted to cook the turkey.
Ah.
And honestly, it's like the easiest thing you can do.
You stick it in a bag.
You just throw it in the oven.
Yeah.
So long as it's thawed.
Right.
And, cooked all the way through.
For sure.
What else do you need to do?
A little butter under the skin some herbs if you want to get fancy.
Look at that.
Like a rub.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, like,
rosemary.
Under the skin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's the key.
I didn't know you could do that.
Oh, yeah. Pockets of butter all, melting into the bird.
That's the butter knife.
Trick.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yes.
Butter knife under the skin.
Uh-huh. Just like open it up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jam rosemary and butter in there.
Right.
I also throw parsley in the cavity there, and that like keeps everything moist.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So, insider tips here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As it were. Either of you a vegetarian, or are you all, you guys all eat meat?
We eat meat.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's interesting. When I cook meat, did I tell the beef liver story?
No.
We'll get back to cyclocross, I promise.
Maybe not.
But no, just like I was, my mom gave me 3 frozen beef livers this summer. And it took me until last week, I think, to actually cook the beef liver and actually make something out of it.
No, I never heard this story.
Yeah. It turns out working with meat is repellent.
Well, liver isn't, I don't know if I would call that meat, really.
Working with organs is repellent.
Yeah.
But it was just, I don't know, like the more I had to work to get the stuff flavored and everything.
What did you do with it?
I fried it. Battered it in.
I guess that's the best
flour
thing you could probably do.
Soaked it in milk to get rid of the bad liver flavor, as they recommend.
Really?
Yeah. That's what this recipe I looked up was like, soak it in milk for an hour or so. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it was very tasty. I enjoyed it.
It cuts the tannins or something.
I think
wood with wine or something.
Exactly. The legs on this thing are great. But it was nuts, like how getting into the whole like cooking with meat And just like it reminded me, because we were talking about like, you know, digging under the skin of a bird, like it's so, in some ways, so barbaric. And yet I like to eat meat. I think you've made the better choice, Aaron.
I mean, I like to eat meat too. I just,
you just don't.
I just don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't mind working with it. I've never actually had to, you know, like slaughter and clean my own meat.
Right. Right.
I don't think I would like to do that.
Yeah. It's not easy. I've killed a couple birds. I was a chicken.
Oh,
rearer,
yeah.
Farmer. What, yes. What do you call that? I had chickens when I was young, and we would eat them. So yeah, it was a thing I'm familiar with, but I don't think I like the process. And coming back to it, like as an older person, I'm like, oh, this is kind of barbaric.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, there is something like really involved and like primal about it.
You know what I like?
What's that?
I like seitan.
Yes.
That's a good goddamn meat substitute.
Yes.
It's really, really tasty. But we're
versatile.
Let's talk about Alec Ross.
First off, before we get back to like what we're actually supposed to be talking about, I should also mention that I'm in charge of getting the beer.
Oh, that's right.
For our Thanksgiving.
And where are you going to go?
Well, wouldn't you know, there's a bottle shop on Southeast Division and 12.
Yes.
What's it called?
I believe it's called the Beer Mongers.
The Beer Purveyors.
No, that's not right.
Purveyors of Beer.
And it's not Beer Mongers, by the way. It's The Beer Mongers.
The Beer Mongers. You have to say the whole name.
You need that definite article in the front.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you're going to go pick up beer for everybody.
Yes.
Except for you. You're going to get Lionheart kombucha.
I will try again. I can't quit this Oregon strawberry.
It's so pretty good.
It's pretty so good. But it's so volatile.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were talking about, so Alec Ross. Let's talk about the beginning of Alec Ross. Because there are two good things here. They're like chocolate and peanut butter.
Right.
And they go well together.
And this does seem to go well together. So the history of Alec Ross, it's kind of a two-parter.
Uh-huh.
It came about, I think it's my second year in cyclocross. I was really into cyclocross and excited about it, and the season just wasn't long enough to me. So
okay.
I wanted to find a reason to make more races. Let's see. Friends and I, we would train for cyclocross in city parks.
Oh, yeah.
And decided we wanted to make a course and actually put on races. But about that same time, a friend of a friend, a messenger, was hit by a car. And all these other messengers put on an alley cat race.
Uh-huh.
I almost said alley cross. They put on an alley cat to raise money for his medical bills. So they asked me to get involved, and two plus two equals four, and we just came up with Alley Cross.
Yeah. So what were you thinking like when you said we're going to do, did you think like we'll do these together or like we could do something like this separately or what was your thought process in combining the two? Like what were you looking at as far as what it would look like when it was done?
I mean, God, I don't know. It was kind of messy. It was literally just like, I like the alley cat format and I really love to race cyclocross and I just wanted to figure out how to put them together.
Yeah.
So I just sat down and just wrote out a plan and crumpled up and threw it away and wrote out another one and like just did it until I figured out what I wanted to do.
Nice. Very good. So,
and it's still evolving. I would say it's still evolving.
And that was 5 years ago.
That was 5 years ago.
Yeah. Right. What have you learned over those 5 years?
Jeez, I still don't know.
It's still hard. It still needs to be upgraded in some way.
Still working on it.
Well, we did Kimmy Cross last year.
Correct.
And that was pretty cool because we went to Creston Park, which has a number of uphills and downhills and a fair amount of mud.
Good stairwell.
Yeah. Is that what you call
that?
Yeah. I guess so. Run up.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. As far as working, like this is in city parks, I would imagine you have to have some cooperation from the city in order to actually make this work.
It's more of a blind eye sort of situation.
Ah.
We don't impede, we can't impede entrance or movement in the park. So as long as we're in and out and it doesn't take too long, no permits required.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
Well, that's all right.
Is this something that you had to look into or...
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I tried permitting. I paid for one the first time, and I got this feeling when somebody was like, so why are you paying for this permit? And they worked for the parks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I figured I would just try to do it without and just have done that ever since.
And they're okay with it.
More or less.
Which is, well, that, yeah. That's cool though. I mean, it's not
it
like.
Depends on who you talk to.
Sure. It's not like you have to be undercover about it, right?
Right.
Yeah. Like it's a public event and it's happening and you don't have to like sneak in and sneak out. You can actually, you can set out because you're not setting up like tape, I guess, right? You're setting up flags.
Yeah, there's little flags.
For your route and that sort of thing. So again, you're not impeding anybody else's enjoyment of the park, I suppose.
Exactly.
So yeah. Very good. Can we talk about this year's course, or is that under wraps till it happens?
It's under wraps.
Okay. It's all trade secrets. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got to be on the inside.
But what I can say is that Kimi Cross is sort of an evolution from Alley Cross. I think our third year, or maybe, yeah, I think the third year of Alley Cross, we were approached by a friend whose daughter had bone cancer.
Yeah.
And so we turned our final race of that Alley Cross series into a fundraiser for her. Typically, Alley Cross is for at-risk youth and homeless youth here in Portland. We accept in-kind donations from the racers and give them directly to nonprofits like Outside In,
Pair.
Yeah,
and we try to avoid the like monetary donation. We just take in-kind donations from one group of people that have them and don't need them and give them to another group that needs them and don't have them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this evolution, we definitely do raise money for melanoma research.
Yeah. That's great. And we lost Kimmy right before last year, right?
Yes.
Last year's event.
It was kind of a heartbreak. She passed away a few days before, like a week or so before, and it was supposed to be a race that she was going to come to if she was able, and so kind of changed from a fundraiser for her to be there and be a part of into a memorial, so this is the second memorial for her, so
yeah.
I feel like we're doing a good job, and we've definitely implemented parts that are very specific to Kim Matheson. Things that she was interested in or places that were sentimental to her and her partner or her family and friends. And she was just like the most fun, outgoing person. And we just want to make sure the race reflects that. It's fun. It's going to be interactive. It's going to...
Challenging.
Was a competitor. Man, she was strong.
She was very competitive.
So... Yeah, it'll be hard, but in the most fun way possible.
Yeah, so. And she was a member of the Beer Monger Cyclocross team, right?
Yes.
She
was a founding member.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we got that last year when we were there. I think all the elements that you're describing are things that were there and present. So, what's it like running the event?
Mayhem.
In the most fun way possible.
In the most fun way possible.
But trying to get like all these people, I mean, anytime you run an event, we saw some of that when we were at Cranksgiving. We weren't even in charge of it, but we saw people running around kind of feeling, and they did a great job.
I mean, there's the whole like herding cats metaphor that I think is often appropriate when you have a large group of people who are trying to plan their own thing. And, you know, like you've got everybody's, what was it, like 18 teams?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, so every team is like trying to plan their own strategy. But in the meantime, you have the overarching organization trying to like make announcements and like tell everybody else, okay, so now we're going over here. And yeah, so there's like all these conversations happening at the same time and like nobody really wanting to go in one specific direction.
That's definitely been a part of the evolution is trying to figure out, okay, last year we did this and no one listened. So when do we give them the manifest? When do we give them this direction? When do we like tell them whatever specifics of any particular race? And I think a lot of the people who have been going to the races over the last couple of years keep coming back. And so they kind of understand that the chaos is kind of like part of the fun of it. It's, you know, more or less this unsanctioned kind of free for all race that some people have said it's like how cross used to be. And so I don't know. It's fun. And I think people like it and expect it. And they don't expect it to be a cross crusade. They expect it to be an alley cross. And they come back for that same fun kind of, I don't know, insanity that we really like to put together. So
But yeah. It is getting easier every year.
That's good. Organize. That's good. Yeah. A lot of moving parts, right? Because you have to...
Quite a few.
And you were talking about passing along the donations. That's only one part of it because you have to figure out like how the teams are organized. Again, how people get their information. Right. So what did you find out with the manifest? Like when do you give that to people?
We give that... Can I say this one?
Sure.
I think I can. Well, some of it is, we can't say some of it on the air, of course.
Right.
Well, I guess we're not on the air, so.
We're not. That's just what the sign says.
So we have to give the manifest at the end of the cross, like, I guess the cross, the actual cyclocross part.
Yeah.
Of
the race. Right.
And that's how that happened with the Kimi cross.
Exactly.
Last year.
Yeah. That's what we figured out is that's the best way to do it. Because as with like Alley Cat style, you have a mob of people and everybody gets a card and the rules are basically get the boxes on the card, get them checked.
Right.
And that's it. But with us, we have to get in like an actual cross course and
the courses are more fun when there's people on it. So
exactly.
You want everyone to race together and have that kind of mob going on. That's where the energy comes from that really like gets people moving to.
Exactly. So we need to get everybody to the cross course first. Have them compete, give them the manifest, and then there they go.
Because it would be kind of lame to show up and do the cross course and be the only one there doing it.
It's happened in the past.
Oh, right. And so you get everyone there at once. And then you're out of everybody's hair sooner, too.
Exactly.
Especially so people can go back to the quiet enjoyment of their parks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
That is interesting. So just kind of figuring out that you needed to have everyone there at a certain time. Or, like, do this first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the races started at a cross course, so you show up and the course is already set up. But then people were pre-riding, and then it felt more like, I don't know, like a real cyclocross race and less like this. You don't know what you're getting. Mm-hmm. Surprise.
So we also need to find a start point where it's pretty central and we can go to any number of parks in the area. And just so nobody knows exactly which park we're going to.
Oh, right. And the beer mongers at Southeast Division and 12th is a great place to start.
It's so central.
It is. Any alley cross race. Yeah. Well, very cool. This is exciting. I'm excited because this will be... Are we going to race this?
We are. I don't believe we are racing this one.
Really?
No.
You have a special role.
Why not?
Because we are Black Knights.
What does that mean?
I don't know. We should ask somebody who's organizing this.
I wish we knew someone who was organizing the race. What is the Black Knight concept?
That is her concept.
I honestly thought like we were there to sabotage other riders.
No, they're doing hands.
The name sort
serious.
Of implied that.
Throwing sticks in their wheels.
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't do anything that terrible, but...
What would you do?
I don't know. Like a little bit of mud, maybe. I got Nerf guns.
There we go.
I think you should still bring those. I think that should very much still be a part of this. But the idea behind the Black Knight kind of comes from the Cross Crusade, which is a series here in Portland. It's kind of like the big cross race here. But it's this person who rides in the race, and they have no rules that they have to follow. They can come and go as they please. And if you catch the Black Knight as a rider, you get a prize. So you guys will be our Black Knights on this, and you'll be coming and going throughout the course or maybe the different stops that people have to go to. And if they find you, they'll get a prize, probably a beer token, which is the best prize.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Because so it's not actual beer. You're giving away beer in public would be problematic.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe there might be some legal issues for that.
Here's a pint. Drink it now.
And that's why the tokens are great.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. It's just a token.
Yes.
That's all it is.
Yeah, so we'll have you guys there, and if you guys want to interview people or you want to shoot Nerf guns at them, you guys kind of, like, the Black Knights have no rules, so.
How did it feel to be shot with a Nerf gun?
Tell us.
Something along those lines, yeah.
When you get that mud out of your mouth, can you answer this question?
Exactly. What is the flavor of this particular park? Yeah, I'm excited about this, though. This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, dear listener, if you're out there and you're going to be racing Kimi Cross, you got to find us. Because we got tokens.
Do you think, should we make ourselves, like, easy to find?
I think you should wear all white.
I don't think it would stay white for very long.
It's funny, because Aaron Flores never wears all white.
No.
But, yeah. This is exciting. I'm really excited. Thank you for thinking of us.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really excited to have you.
So ever since this has started, you've been hosting it every time, right?
Yeah.
So have you also competed in it at one point or another?
No.
No.
I have.
Okay.
I got a second in the series once. So that was fun.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Which one was that?
So that was probably 4 years ago, actually.
I don't remember this.
Yeah.
It's not a fact.
You wouldn't tell me anything. You were like, you can come and you have to run registration, but you can't know anything else. And that was kind of how it ran. Okay. So.
There we go. Well, yeah.
I don't give away any trade secrets.
No, yeah. No. Yeah. So, Daniel, what do you do if you're running Alleycross? This is an awesome series. And this year only one, right? Right.
Just the one instead the of the one. Three.
Yeah. But if you don't get to compete in Alleycross, what do you do for fun?
During the race?
Or in this season?
So I write a lot of emails, make a lot of calls, organize, like getting those moving parts together, and just try to figure out what's missing and fill the gap.
Okay. Are you a logistics type of person? Do you enjoy that sort of thing?
We got some laughs over there.
some people I know would say no. But
okay.
As far as this goes, yes.
You like a challenge.
Yeah.
Okay. So when it's all said and done, what are you going to do for fun once Alleycross is all wrapped up?
For fun.
We're going to Cuba.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
That's true. We're bike touring in Cuba.
Nice. Tell us
awesome.
About this. What's the plan?
We are going to fly to Cuba and bike tour.
There you go.
We're gonna do some write some articles, I guess, for cool. Bicycle
for Bicycle Times.
Yeah, Bicycle
nice.
Times.
We like that publication.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do some writing for them. We've been practicing our Spanish, and so we're gonna talk to the locals and kind of get a feel for the bike culture or kind of whatever it is. What we've kind of learned from reading about Cuba is like you can't really expect anything from Cuba. That it is so bizarre and so strange and backwards and forwards and all these different things at the same time that nothing makes sense. So you kind of have to go in with an open mind and roll with the punches. A friend of ours went a couple of years ago and said, you can get one thing done a day. If you have to go to the bank, that is the one thing you do that day. If you have to buy toilet paper, that is the one thing you're doing that day.
Really?
Because everything takes so long there and is kind of different than you would expect it to be.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you guys are bringing your bikes with you?
Yes.
We are. So
taking them apart and packing them and then reassembling them when you get there?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, cool.
This is probably our fourth or fifth time doing that, traveling with the bike and doing tour stuff. And so we've got it figured out pretty well at this point. Got some hard cases for the first time. So we'll see that goes. Yeah. We've always just done the boxes.
Yeah. I was going to ask, have you ever used bike flights?
No, it hasn't been an economical choice for us. And then because Cuba, you just can't ship anything there because of like embargo, but,
and all that stuff,
whatever.
Yeah.
So not this time, but we're hoping one of these times it works out for us.
Sure. They seem like a good option. I've still never done that. I should do that for Boston someday.
Yeah.
I'm always afraid.
I would imagine that'd be pretty easy.
Taking apart your bike is scary.
Well, yeah.
Not for you. You like that sort of thing.
No. Yeah, that's true.
I'm always afraid like I'm never going to find that one nut or whatever. Like I'm that one little piece that holds the whole thing together.
I just always end up with extra pieces.
<That's> trouble. Where did it come from?
How did I get all these? Why do I have this left?
I think that means they still belong somewhere.
I don't know.
Yeah.
interesting story about that. I caught a ride from a coworker one time, and in the back of his truck, he picked up this black screw, and he's like, this had to have come off your bike. I don't have anything.
I don't have
screws. I didn't haul anything, that had this.
Yeah.
I have no idea where it came from. And to this day, it still sits in my bag going like, well, one day I'm going to discover where this is supposed to go.
Is it a fine thread or a coarse thread?
It's like a set screw. So, it doesn't even have a head on it. Mm. So I don't know. I thought it'd be like part of a derailleur.
That's fantastic.
But everything still works.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. That's what you're really looking for in the end anyway.
Right.
So.
I'm really interested to see what kind of bikes you guys will end up seeing over there in Cuba. because, what was it, 2 years ago? Maybe 3 years ago, the Film by Bike Festival had like a mini documentary about like how because of the embargo, there weren't any new parts coming in. And so there's all these bikes that are like made out of like just prefabricated or not prefabricated, I guess, post-fabricated parts that like maybe it was from a car that they made it work, you know, for their purposes. So I'm really interested to see like what you guys might see there.
Yeah, and from that film too, actually, just how people use bikes so regularly every day, like for whether it's transportation or whether it's to sell goods or to get from town to town, kind of how that goes. So that will be interesting. I'm looking forward to that. We've had a hard time just finding, I guess because of these reasons, like bike shops really don't exist there.
Oh, right.
We found one bike shop.
Confirmed in Havana. Yeah,
one confirmed bike shop in Havana. So, and that took a little bit of digging. So we'll see what that actually looks like when we get there. We're just hoping to have no problems.
Right, right. No mechanicals.
And we can't miss anything. We can't have missing screws. We can maybe have too
you
many.
You can bring extra screws and stuff on purpose.
Yeah, we were thinking about that too, bringing a couple extra things that maybe, you know, different people who cycle there would be looking for. So when we talk to them, be like, hey, here's this new chain or some new cables or something to be able, like, an in-kind. Well, just like a gift, like, thank you. Okay. And here's something for you to help your bike so you can ride more or do it better. So,
right.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Do it better. I like the idea that Cuba really is kind of a bike shop, like the whole country. You know, you talk to somebody, they're going to find a way to make something work.
Right.
And that's the really cool notion about Cuba. And the longer we go from the time when it was all sealed off from the world, at least from the U.S., like the less there's going to be that distinctive Cuban-ness, I think.
Yeah.
Because more things are going to come in. But still, I think there's probably a lot of residuals from that time when like people were just making things work and finding a way to put it all together. And that's going to be fascinating.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to the articles.
Thank you.
Looking forward to the trip.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you. I hope it goes well. I was thinking about Carl, who we met at, or we saw at VeloCold. I'd met him before, but he was the guy who fell off his tall bike and broke his leg.
Oh, right. Yeah, and he had that.
He has that little screw that was holding his bone together for so long.
Yes.
And we were talking to him about, like, if he's ever going to integrate that into a bike build somewhere. Like, some of that little screw is going
to
end
somehow
up on.
Somehow figure a way to, like, put it into something down there.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you guys so much for having us. This was really great. And it was really nice to get to hang out, talk a little bit of Black Knight.
Yeah.
And again, Kimmy Cross is December 19th?
11th.
December 11th.
11th. It's right there in front of me.
There it is. It's on our calendar.
Yes. Perfect.
Beermongers.
Yes.
12th and Division.
Daniel, Ashley, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. You guys have a great day.
You too.
Lots of fun there.
All right. Headlines, yes?
Yes. This is not a twist.
No, tools required.
Yep, I need your. I don't actually.
Did you lose one?
So it was like this whole like carabiner bottle opener combo thing.
Yeah.
And the carabiner part of it stopped working.
Oh.
And so then my keys kept falling off my pants.
And that's no good.
Yes.
Okay.
So I kept it. It's attached to one of my bags, but it doesn't do me a whole lot of good in here.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we should get you another one, another opener sometime. I think I have
probably
two or three laying around somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you've got just some laying around, then sure.
For sure. My openers last forever, but the key rings that they're on do not.
Oh, I've got tons of key rings.
Nice.
Like the little, like,
yes, you do.
There. Yeah.
All right.
This is after I pared down, by the way.
Pared down.
Like taking key rings off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You used to have a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Some that were just the rings hanging out, enormous like not chain. Even attached to any keys. I was like, what the hell do I still have this for?
For cachet, sir.
I guess. Now I will never sneak up on anyone again.
All right. Here come our headlines.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Pedal just as fast as you can into the morning light. Pedal.
Aaron Flores, what's on our calendar?
So, on our calendar, first up, November 26th, Puddle Cycle, off we go to Lake Oswego.
That's right. Puddle Cycle killing it with winter rides in Portland, Oregon.
Oh my gosh, so many. Also, Puddle Cycle, December 4th, Symbols of the Season at Piddick Mansion. Go up to Piddick Mansion, check out all the things that are happening.
That's right.
There.
And December 11th, of course, Kimmy Cross at the
Kimmy
Beer Mall.
Kimmy Cross!
If you're anywhere near Portland, you should come and ride your bike. It'll be fun. There'll be mud and prizes.
And lastly, on our calendar anyways, February 27th, Menagerie in Motion, Kinetic Derby.
Kinetic Derby. That
That's
means
for those of you who are in the Gainesville, Florida
awesome
area.
Awesome moving sculptures. Yes. So, with that, headlines. Actual headlines.
First, some like not quite actual headlines, and that is
that's a real headline.
Okay, news.
Yes,
I was in the latest Bicycle Times.
That's right.
Can I tell you something about that?
Go for it.
So I get Bicycle Times as well.
Oh, that's cool.
And I found that out, and I left that page open on our coffee table
at your house.
Yeah,
like check out how famous I am. People. Look at me. I'm in the magazine.
You live with a famous person.
Good work. Good work. That's awesome.
I'm almost, I'm not quite embarrassed to admit this because I'm still admitting this, but I did the same thing when we were actually featured.
Oh, right. When the Sprocket podcast was in Bicycle Times.
I left that open there.
There you go.
I never got any comments, so I don't know. I don't know. People love their smartphones. So
well, yeah.
Who knows if they even saw it there.
But you know what? You can get it on the smartphone, too.
You can.
Yeah.
That's true.
So, very cool. Well, congratulations. You're famous. I Twittered the photo of you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're famous.
It was actually Anna who pointed it out to me. She was thumbing through that issue of Bicycle Times.
Like
I hadn't read it yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it was like one of the first things she found.
It was also my partner who pointed out to me that, hey, that's Aaron. Yeah. But she read it before I did as well.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Second, you, sir, bring to us...
Yes.
...a hack for cheap egg white replacer.
A life hack. I'm glad you say cheap, because it doesn't... You don't have to be vegan or vegetarian to do this.
No.
But...
I mean, how much is a can of beans?
You know,
versus how much is a
just
dozen eggs?
Beans, you know, like dry beans. You can make
Even
your own.
Less.
You can make your own bean water. So yes. Aquafaba.
Aquafaba.
That's what we're talking about.
Yes. You may have heard of aquafaba because we just said it right now, which I guess translates to water bean.
Water bean, yeah.
Who would have thought that the next big thing to sweep across the vegan nation or, you know.
Or any nation.
Any nation. Would have been something as simple and as icky as the brine from legumes.
Those are beans.
Using juice straight from the can is the easiest method, though slowly cooking dried beans in water for a few hours until the water turns to aquafaba will give you similar results. Even water from packaged tofu and peas is aquafaba.
Yeah, and you can whip this shit into shape to make like meringue.
That's pretty
or whatever
awesome.
Else. Like it works basically just like egg whites would.
And in this article, the legume of choice is garbanzo.
Yeah.
I'm imagining, is that maybe the mildest of tasting beans?
I wonder.
I don't know.
I mean, so can you do this with any kind of bean water? Because I know that garbanzos specifically were mentioned to me as like, this is where you get aquafaba, but maybe there are other beans as well. But either way, like, this is a thing, like, that you got one more thing you
totally
can use.
Totally gonna do black bean aquafaba.
Yeah, man.
How cool do you get, like, a black meringue?
Sure. You'd be into that?
Yep. I'm on it.
Yeah. No, and the thing is, like, this, like, you make beans already. Like, if you're a person who cooks in the kitchen, I don't personally make beans all that often, but my lady friend does. And we've got a lot of bean water hanging around. So we could have meringue every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do like, because I mean, I don't know if I've told you, but I find that I am less and less tolerant of eggs as time goes on.
For real?
Yeah. I mean, I know some people can handle them just fine, but I don't know. They always make me feel funny inside. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. My gut is not particularly well adjusted for eggs. So I stopped eating them. I mean, I don't eat that much eggs. I don't eat that much dairy. I don't eat that many eggs.
That's probably the one animal
I mean to say that for all the grammar Nazis out there, because I said that much eggs. But what I mean is that many eggs. I don't eat that many eggs. But yes, you were saying.
It's probably the one animal product I eat the most regularly.
Yeah, I mean, they're super useful.
Yeah, I try not to eat too many cheese products. I don't drink any milk. I mean, I will always have a weakness for ice cream.
Sure, yeah. It's the best kind of milk.
Yeah, yes. So, yeah, my main source of protein has almost always been eggs.
Yeah. They're good.
Yeah.
But what's even better? Aquafaba.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, it's a protein-laden meringue potential that you've got right there. So, anyways, I thought that was cool. There was a great article or interview, I guess, Fresh Air. I'm not sure how far back it was, but Terry Gross talked to some vegan and vegetarian chefs that they were talking about. What I've always said is that, you know, meat's not all that important. Meat's not all that great.
Right.
Really, when people eat meat, what they like is what the meat is cooked with. Spices and whatnot.
Yeah.
And you can take anything. You can take vegetables and make them super tasty with the same things you would make meat tasty with.
This is
as a person who is admittedly not a vegetarian. Like, I eat meat here and there. But definitely, you know, you can have the same experience in a lot of ways. Satan. Hail Satan.
It was like right there. I was just about to say it. next up, from the Huffington Post, their UK online edition. This came to us from superfan Aqua.
What's up, Aqua?
Dyson Award 2016 winner announced a folding paper bicycle helmet that could save lives.
Yeah, this is interesting to me.
Yeah. Did you watch the little video that
I did not watch the video.
Okay. Wasn't anything super special. I was really hoping to see like some kind of like crash demonstration test.
And they don't.
No, I didn't see one.
That's why I didn't watch it.
Yeah. While you may be thinking that a paper bicycle helmet probably isn't the safest of ideas, you'd be pleasantly surprised.
Ooh.
Thanks to the honeycomb design and shape of the helmet, it is able to absorb and spread the impact across its entire surface area, reducing the effect of the impact.
And that's pretty cool.
Also worth noting that, so this is a London-based entrepreneur. I don't know if that's the right word for this person.
Making money.
Inventor.
Shaking money makers.
They are putting this together. They are hoping to sell it like at bike share stations.
Right.
And it's hopefully going to be for £4 over there in England. So
£4 sterling?
Around $5 here.
Oh, it's more than that, isn't it? Unless it's the pound gone down. I forget.
I'm just sort of going by what I remember the Huffington
Post. Yeah. No, that is.
It may have.
My biggest
exposure. Are you thinking pound or euro?
I'm thinking pound.
Because now those are two different...
yes, they are. Well, they've always systems. Been.
Well, yeah.
They've always been. Right. But with the whole like exit from the European, the Brexit, as it were.
Yeah.
That's a thing that has changed the value of the pound. And I do have to apologize to our British listeners
By the way, there's a fork right there.
Oh, yeah. That's a good-looking fork with that squared off end. But no, I don't want to demean any of our British listeners. I do. You're looking up the conversion rate right now. I just remember meeting a fellow...
So $1.25 is £1.
I see. £1 in British is $1.25 in U.S. dollar. Okay. So £4. Oh, you're doing $5 even. There we go. Okay. Well, I'm glad we figured this out for the people.
Yay.
Yeah. But yes.
Second to lastly in our news. And for our last bit of news, you might want to pull up a little bit of something.
Yes.
But before that, something from Doug Robertson.
Doug Robertson
says to us, I've been getting caught up on podcasts this weekend. In episode 323, you mentioned Marcus Norman being featured on the Brompton website. I wanted to let you know that Marcus was not the only person contacted.
What?
Or in connection with the Sprocket podcast to be featured.
Yes.
And there he is.
There's Doug Robertson.
Biking in Duluth.
Yeah.
This is great. He bikes year-round, mentions, one, in Duluth, harsh winters that last 6 months out of the year.
Good God, man. How do you
live? Situated on a hill overlooking Lake Superior, the coldest lake.
Holy shit.
Let's see. What else?
There so was, he rides there was another thing. He rides a folding bike.
Yes. And
in these six-month winters.
In these six-month winters.
Holy shit.
He's lived and biked there for about 15 years. So this guy, I mean, he might give Phil a run for his money.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's no polar bears in Duluth.
I was going to say, if Phil rides with a bear on his back, what does Doug ride with?
And I don't know.
How does Doug ride? We need to take this into advisement and find this.
I mean,
there's
Doug right there.
Yeah.
I don't see any pelt of any kind.
Right, right.
But, you know, maybe he's just being shy.
Sure. Right, he's being modest.
Right, modest. That's
he could boast of so much more. Yeah. Well, congratulations, Doug. Thank you for letting us know. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And happy catching up. Hope it goes well. I hear from a lot of listeners who are like, oh, I haven't heard all their most recent episodes. So
right.
You got fun stuff to look forward to.
And, you know, that's nothing to be sorry about either.
No.
Like, I've gotten people would be like, yeah, I haven't been listening in a while. I'm sorry. And I'm like, that's okay.
Like, who the hell are we?
Yeah.
It's fine. Do your thing. Live your life.
We can still be friends. It's okay.
Yeah, listen when you have time. Yeah. Well, Doug has been giving donations all this time.
Yeah.
Whether he listens or not, which is very nice of him. We really do appreciate that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I love that.
Congratulations, Doug, on being featured by Brompton. That's fantastic.
Yes, and thank you for continuing to support us.
Really, the only way we know this stuff is if someone tells us. So, thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com or @sprocketpodcast on Twitter. Or there's that Facebook thing, if you like that.
I have no idea what that is.
I don't like that thing. We use it, you know. So, we got this thing.
Oh, yeah. Lastly, Beth Hammond comes to us with a call to action.
Long time.
I am a former shop mechanic, fixing up old bicycles and delivering them to Catholic charities for their refugees resettlement program. New people are arriving in Portland each month. They have been vetted by the U.S. State Department and have been granted asylum from countries where they would die if they remained. Now that they are living in Portland, bicycles would help their meager stipend last long while they look for work or go to school. I'm collecting adult-sized bicycles, 26-inch wheels or bigger, please. No kids' bikes. Repairing them and outfitting them with donated rear racks and locks and handing them off to Catholic charities for redistribution to newly arrived Portlanders. I can even accept department store-level bikes.
Yes.
If you have a cheap bike you can't get rid of, let me know. I can take delivery in Woodlawn neighborhood
here in
near
Portland, Oregon.
The Deakum Triangle. Thanks so much, Beth.
So, I know, I'm pretty sure BethHammond.com. Should we vet that real quick? I forgot to look that up.
Yeah, no. I actually had it open.
You can get in touch with her, yes.
Dang it. I fat-fingered that. There it is.
Beth-Hammond-Music.com.
Yes.
Yeah, and of course, she's a former guest of ours. You may have heard of the episode she was on. It was a couple of years ago now, but there is a contact portion on that page, right?
Yep.
And you can find her info there. So this is largely for people in Portland, but if you feel the need to ship a bike to Beth Hammond, you know, you can help out someone who needs reliable transportation. So
yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I am actually going to copy that link right now so that
we
have it. There. That's her contact page.
Fabulous.
All right.
Well, we may not have a bicycle donation program. We may not be, I mean, we are charitable. We try, but we may not be the ones leading the effort. But what we do know is that we do have...
That we do. And first up,
let's move that mic stand out of the way.
That's why it was so tall when Ashley came in, actually, so I could look at the screen. First up, Nathan Poulton sends us a picture of his patch.
Yes, that's the Sprocket Podcast logo patch that we sent him.
Those in the know with the Sprocket Podcast will nod like a covert handshake at my fanny pack. Supporter patch.
Yes, he put it on a fanny pack.
Yes.
That is an accepted location.
It is.
Right?
The picture. Yes, it is.
We know.
And it's right there. You can just see it just under under his kid's foot.
Yeah,
right
covert. There. That's what we like. We like people spreading the word.
Spreading the word, but covertly.
Yeah.
Todd in Maryland says, have you guys ever talked about Worksman bikes on your show? Worksman has been making industrial cargo bikes for over 100 years.
And we've mentioned them once or twice, but we've never covered them. We've never had an interview. It would certainly be a thing that we'd like to, we'd like to get in touch with someday.
These are really hardy looking. These look like something that, what are those guys called? Like tool and die makers ride around the shop with.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they have a number of really heavy-duty bikes for, again, industrial applications, and it's something that can replace, like, a forklift or, some other people mover sort of thing that you would otherwise have. I think it's a great idea.
They've even got folding bikes,
yeah. They're getting in on the action. But, yeah, Worksman, it's a really cool deal.
They look pretty reasonable in price as well.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
So thank you for the tip, Todd.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Todd.
Michael.
Michael sends us a picture of his new Sprocket bike.
Holy shit. He repurposed the entire bike for our show.
Actually, it's a 72 Peugeot frame and cheap Chinese fork, used French wheels, and a 30-year-old Japanese brakes and Swiss rear rack and fresh American paint job and knobby-ish tires. Absolutely coolest hand badge anywhere.
That's our
or head badge anywhere.
That's
and
so
it's
cool.
Our sticker. Yeah. And I
and it rides great.
Right
and
there.
It's super international.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It is a very cosmopolitan. Is that the right word?
Interpolitan. Yeah. But not Interpol.
Yes.
Yeah.
It rides great. Good bike is a good bike forever and ever and ever.
Damn straight.
Love the show. It keeps me sane.
Keeps us
sane,
too.
Yes, doing this show keeps us sane.
Yeah.
The Sprocket Podcast, your therapy and your anchor to reality.
That's right.
Next up, Josh G sends us a... I was watching this earlier. It's a documentary on Skate Rock.
Skate Rock.
Yes. And I won't, bring the whole thing, but it's this whole... It's done by Thrasher Magazine.
Oh, nice. Those who skate will know.
Yes, and Thrasher Magazine used to have cassette compilations of just all rock-type music that, to skate to.
Nothing but rock.
Yeah, it was mostly, in the punk, genre.
Okay,
so
not butt rock, because that's where that came from, was nothing but rock.
Right, no, it wouldn't be that stuff.
Yeah, no. Okay.
Yeah, and there's even a funny part in this documentary where there's a little back and forth between whether or not Devo qualified for Skate Rock.
Did it?
They left it up in the air. There was disagreement.
everyone gets to make their own call.
Apparently, it was a faction. You were a skater that had your Skate Rock, and then you were a skater that had Devo, and you were an offshoot of that, and not necessarily accepted by the whole.
Yeah, it's tricky. I like Devo. I'll put that out there now.
Hell yeah. Next up, Harry from where's that in California?
Someplace down in California.
Some bike shop. One of his coworkers, Vince, digs the Sprocket podcast patch that we sent him, and sent him a bunch for his shop. And there is Vince modeling it there for us.
That's
Thank
right.
You.
Yeah. And Vince looks like he'd be right at home in Portland.
Oh, yeah.
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 He should come visit sometime
and
talk to us.
I maybe should apologize to all you over at that shop.
Why? Did you talk some shit?
I didn't talk shit.
Did you type some shit?
I wrote. It was all in fun. It was all in jest. But it said something to the effect of I put in an odd number of patches to unnecessarily stir up angst.
Okay.
And finished off with saying, take that, Grant. I write a surly.
Uh-oh.
Thanks for listening.
Seriously. This is where, yeah, this is the sheep and the goats right here. Dangerous. Dangerous.
Yeesh. I listen to Devo.
A rebel through and through. Paul.
Paul Culbertson.
If that's actually your name.
Sends us a picture of a bike frame beer tap.
Yes, that is beer flowing through a bicycle.
Bend Cyclery.
Yes. This is a good idea.
Oh, I was going to open up the bigger pictures of those here. I'll just open one of
those. It's a good look, man. There's beer going through a bike.
Look at that.
So where does it come out again?
Like the head badge.
Okay.
Here, I'll open the other one. I'll
where else, right?
Not the head badge, but the headset.
Oh, the headset. Like, okay. Oh,
it comes up through the stem.
Middle of the handlebars.
Yeah, it's like this attachment that goes through the handlebars, I guess.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Nice. So I'm assuming that's like, you know, like internal tubing.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. It'd have to be. Yeah. Christy Kaster sends us a picture of her patch, which she bedazzled.
She bedazzled it.
The O's and then the center of the
that's
little
right.
Sprocket there.
Yeah. You know
that's
what?
That's pretty awesome.
We send you a patch. You get to do whatever you want to it.
Yep. I will reluctantly approve the bedazzling. And only reluctantly because I know someone at home that as soon as she sees this, she's going to probably do the same thing to hers.
This is for those who like a little extra flair.
Yes.
Yeah. I love it. Well, it's probably a good time to close this thing out, right?
I suppose so.
Yeah.
I've got nothing else to talk about.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it. It's been a good time. So, without anything else to say.
Ashley and Daniel for coming.
That's right.
And come see us at Kimmy Cross.
Yeah.
Or find us, I should say. We're supposed to be like, you know.
Secret.
Secret.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter at Sprocket Podcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Herb Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to sustaining donors Logan Smith, Johnny K., Shadowfoot,
Katharina Mellengard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan
who
Georgie,
was in that thing.
Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lean, Richard Wazensky, Tim Mooney,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen-Miller,
Todd Parker, Chris Gonzalez, Dan Gebhardt,
Zoe Campagna, Dave Knows, Chris Smith,
Christy Kaster,
Bedazzler,
Caleb Jenkinson, JP Culey,
Scott Mary, Peanut Butter Jar Matt, Patrick Archain, Sebastian Poole,
Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew in Colorado,
Drew the Welder, Anna, Krista,
John Wasserman, Andre Johnson, King of Division,
Josh Zissen, Richard G., Guthrie Straw,
Brandon Shelby, Campsite, Aaron Green,
Mac Nurse David, Catherine Minchin, Nathan Fulton,
Chris Rawson, Rory in Michigan, Michael Flournoy,
Jeremy Kitchen, David Belays, Tim Coleman,
Mr. T, Harry Hugo, Ed Whitman,
EJ Finneran, Paul Culbertson, if that's really your name, and Subvert.
and thank you to all of our former donors who helped us get this
Seriously.
Far. Yes, thank you so much. Now, go brush your teeth.
And go to bed. Oh, sure.
You got to.
Have a good night. That's pretty good.
There it goes.
Yeah.
See what I mean?